All right. Welcome, everyone. Happy Sunday. How's everybody doing? It's not that hot, right? Much better than last week. All right. Yeah, family. Okay. Okay. Saya akan berbicara dalam bahasa Inggris. Kalau Anda butuh diterjemahkan, boleh angkat tangan, and Asher akan dengan senang hati meminjamkan Anda alat penerjemah. Sekali lagi, saya akan berbicara dalam bahasa Inggris. Kalau Anda butuh diterjemahkan, boleh angkat tangan. Asher akan dengan senang hati meminjamkan alat penerjemah. Alright, it's good to see all of you here. So glad to be here. So glad to have the opportunity to share the Word of God with all of you. Today, we are going to continue in our journey. We've been talking about the book of Mark, the Gospel according to Mark for the past years, and we're going to continue in that. But today, I'm going to change gear a little bit from the sermon for the past few weeks or so. Today, I'm going to talk about family. Can you say it together with me? Family. Good. Family. So today, I'm going to talk about family. Mother's Day has passed, Father's Day has passed, so I think it's a good idea that today I'm going to talk about family a little bit. So if you have your Bible with you, why don't you open it up to Mark, to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verse 14 to 29. We're going to read quite a lot. Once again, open your Bible to Mark, chapter 6, verse 14 to 29. Mark chapter 6, verse 14 to 29. I'm going to ask you to read it together with me, just so that you don't fall asleep. Mark chapter 6, verse 14 to 29. And since the topic is about family, I want you to pay attention as you read this passage out loud. I want you to kind of pay attention to the family dynamics. I kind of want you to pay attention to the relationship in the story about the family, that we're going to read, pay attention to the relationship, pay attention to how the relationship is, pay attention to the family dynamics. I'm going to ask you to read the odd verses, and I'm going to read the even verses. Just for the sake of simplicity, so that no one is off tune, I'm going to ask you to read whatever that I'm going to show in the front. All right, sounds good? Once again, I'm going to read the even verses, and I'm going to ask you to read the odd verses, right? So 14 is even or odd? Even, right? 15 is even or odd? Odd, all right, good. Everybody knows that. Awesome. So this is the word of God according to Mark, Mark chapter 6, verse 14 to 29. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. And that is why miraculous powers are at work in him. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you. She went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? The head of John the Baptist, she answered. The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oath and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. And brought back his hat on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for today, that we can continue to worship you and honor you just by listening and learn about your word. Father God, I pray for this opportunity that you bless our time together. Open up our heart, open up our ears, open up our mind, Lord, and give us a sensitive ears and a sensitive heart so that we may understand your word, so we may listen to your voice. Thank you so much. We love you. In the name of Jesus, we all pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Family. 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 Family, just we just read, is a family of Herod. First of all, Herod is not the first name. Herod is just a title for a ruler during that time. Herod was entrusted a certain regions during that time. The power was given by the Roman governments, and they give them a title, Herod. Just for the sake of background information for all of you, I'm going to start with kind of give you a little bit history on the family of Herod. And what I want to show you is the family tree of Herod. So this is the family of Herod. First of all, Herod the Great. Start with the Herod the Great. Herod the Great is the first Herod ever. The Herod the Great is the Herod that you read. The Herod that you read in Christmas story. He's the one that tried to find and kill baby Jesus. He's the one that interact and got fooled by the Magi. He's the one that actually ended up killing a lot of babies. So that's Herod the Great. He has a lot of wife, at least 8, probably more, because of the numerous wife. He has a lot of children, but for the sake of our discussions, just for the sake of simplicity, I'm just going to show a few of his son that is going to play some kind of role in the story that we just read in Mark chapter 6. So the name of the sons are Aristobulus, Alexander, Herod Antipas, Herod II or Philip, and Antipater II. While Herodias, that we just read in Mark chapter 6 in the story, is the daughter of Aristobulus. In 7 BC, Aristobulus and Alexander were executed by Herod the Great. They were killed by Herod the Great. Why? Because they were trying to kill their own father. Their own father, of course, doesn't like it. They were captured and they were executed right away. They were killed by Herod the Great. Not sure why. Probably Herod the Great feel bad killing Herodias' father. He set up marriage between Herodias and Herod II or Philip. I guess Herod the Great wants to make sure that someone actually taking care of Herodias. So now, Herod II, or Philip, is the first husband of Herodias. We find this, as we just read the story, in verse 17. Another player in the family that I want to mention is Antipater II. Antipater II is actually Herod's eldest son. He's the eldest son of Herod the Great, who is actually the next, who's supposed to be the next king. If anything happened to Herod the Great, then Antipater II should be the one that kind of succeed the kingdom. But turns out, in 4 BC, another son tried to kill his father. Jing, 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 right? Feel of drama. Antipater II tried to poison his own dad. Unfortunately, because it's, that means it's fortunate to kill someone. Antipater too failed to poison his own father. So he didn't succeed. So in 4 BC, Herod the Great executed another one of his son. Because of the death of Antipater too, Herod too, or Herod Philip, Herodias' husband, is now supposed to be the next in line for the successions of the kingdom. So since Antipater too, the eldest son, is now dead, so now the kingdom, if anything happened to Herod the Great, will be succeeded by Herod too, Philip. However, to add to the drama, to make this story such a telenovela, turns out that the mother of Herod too, or Philip, knows about the poison plan. The mother know about this plan, but she failed to stop it. She failed to warn Herod the Great. And because of this mistake, because of her mistake, her son, Herod too, Philip, positions as the next in line in the kingdom, was dropped. Because of her mother's mistake, Herod the Great no longer considered Herod too, or Philip, to succeed his kingdom. When Herod the Great died, he distributed the region under him to several of his sons, and Herod too, or Philip, did not get anything. The daughter that we just read in Mark chapter 6, the one that danced, the one that pleased the guests and Herod, is the daughter of Herod too, Philip, and Herodias. And finally, the last not so important history lesson for you today. I'm not sure with the timeline, not sure with the reason. No one actually sure about it either. But finally, Herodias divorced Herod too, or Philip, and married Herod Antipas. Historians are not sure why Herodias did this, but, you know, just judging by the family drama, judging by the killing, the backstabbing between the family, I'm pretty sure it's pure power play. I'm pretty sure Herodias divorced Herod too, or Philip, just because he's no longer a ruler. He's no longer a leader. So he wants to become a wife of a ruler. He wants to be a wife of a king. So he married Herod Antipas instead. And the Herod that we just read in Mark chapter 6, the one that liked to listen to John the Baptist, the one that actually beheaded John the Baptist, is Herod Antipas. Whew. Family. Family drama, telenovela, drama in a family. Family is never perfect. It's crazy at times, but let's just be honest. You cannot live without them. Someone says this, no family is perfect. We argue, we fight. We even stop talking to each other at times, but in the end, family is family. The love will always be there. I hope, actually I believe, that your family is not as full of drama as the Herod's family. If your family is full of drama, has many drama as Herod's family, I think I'll just stop the preaching right now. I'll pray for you and fast for you. But I don't think your family is as crazy as that. But today, as I ponder about this story, as I think about the story in Mark chapter 6, and study the family background, today, just allow me in the next few minutes or so just to share with you what God put in my heart about family. So the first thing that I learned about family is this. Family is God ordained. Family is God ordained. Several weeks ago, I listened to a podcast, a leadership podcast. The title of the podcast is this, Doing What Only You Can Do. Doing What Only You Can Do. Basically, the talk is about encouraging leaders to do only the things that he's good at. To do the things that he's only good at, to do the things that he's capable of. Because, you know, one of the functions of the leadership is to analyze the organization, is to bring it to the next step, to bring it to the next level. And a lot of times, leaders need to be involved with everything. you need to make the decisions in everything and so on and so forth. And as leader analyzed, as leader trying to find gaps in his organizations, he tried to fill it himself. So the podcaster simply saying that leaders cannot do everything on their own. So probably you should just focus on the things that you're supposed to do. Leaders are supposed to do only the things that you are good at. Do not try to do everything that you're not good at, because that's not your job in the first place. Your job is supposed to lead, give directions, resource allocations, and so on and so forth. That's what a leader is supposed to do. But at the end of the podcast, the podcaster give two very important disclaimer. The first disclaimer is that he said that this is just an idea. He said, this is just an idea. This idea should be an ideal that each organization should pursue. Meaning, it should not be done overnight. It should not be done in such a very quick time frame. It should be done slowly. Meaning, it is impossible for a leader to just stop whatever he's doing and just focus on the things that he's good at. It is impossible. Once again, according to him, this is just an ideal. In other words, most likely, none of the organization in this world can achieve to do that. This is just an ideal that each organization should pursue. And the second disclaimer that he mentioned is this, that this idea should only be applied in a company, an organization, or an enterprise. It should not and should be never applied in a household or a family. This idea of doing what you can do should only be applied into organizations and a company, should never be applied to a family. Meaning, in a family setting, there is no such thing as doing what you can do. In the family settings, there is no such thing as doing what only you can do. In a family settings, you are supposed to do and expected to do everything. Whether you are talented or not in washing dishes, you are supposed to wash the dishes in a family. Whether you are good at cooking or not, when your children is crying out and he or she is hungry, you're supposed to cook. Whether you are good at singing or not, whether you are funny or not, when your child needs entertainment, you need to entertain your child. Whether you are introvert or not, whether you are outgoing or not, it doesn't matter. Your skill does not matter. In a family setting, you are expected to do everything. I can keep going, but I think you get the idea. A family is different from an enterprise. A family is different from a company. A family is different from any organizations. You might be belong to a company because of your certain skill. I work for Berkeley Lab because of my skill and my knowledge in electrical engineering. You might get accepted into organization because of your interests. You like books, that's why you belong to a book club. You get into a fan club because you are such a Warriors fanboy, whatever it is. But family is different. It's not because of what you did, it's not because of what you can do, you can get accepted into family. It's not because of your interests, you can be a part of family. You belong to a family purely because you are born into that family. In other words, to belong to a family, to be a part of family, God has to ordain it. What holds a family together is not the same skill, it's not the same interest, it's not even the same goal. But only God's ordination holds a family together. What makes a family, even though they are all different with different personality, different interests, is God who put them together. God who appoint them together. Matthew 19:4 says this, "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. The two will become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. God joined them together. God makes family into one. No other things. Just off topic a little bit. So if you are thinking to starting a family, choosing a life partner, it is never enough to pick based on his or her look. That's kind of obvious, right? It's never enough to pick based on his or her personality. It's kind of obvious too. It's not enough to pick based on his or her character. It's not enough to pick based on his or her pocket. It's never enough to pick based on his net worth. When you pick someone, you need to be sure that God ordained you two to be together. That's why when you pick someone, when you pick a life partner, prayer is crucial. Instead of going a lot of times to the movies, pray together. Both of you needs to be sure that that person is the one that God ordained for you. Ask your leaders to pray together with you. Ask the pastor outside to pray for you. Prayer is such an important key when you pick a life partner. Going back, God ordained families. That means no matter how weird your family is, no matter how crazy, no matter how different they are from you, it is God's gift for you. God purposefully putting you in that family. God intentionally put you there. So I guess instead of being grumpy, keep complaining about your family, my family is like this, my family is like that, put your faith in God. He has never made a mistake, and for sure he's not going to start to make a mistake with your family. God ordained family. So I guess instead of being grumpy and keep complaining and do not contribute anything positive to your family, start use God's way to make your family better. And it can start with you. If your family is negative, start being the positive voice in a family. If your family is ungrateful, you can start being the grateful one. Never underestimate the small minor change you bring to the world. Never underestimate the small minor change you bring to your family, especially when the Spirit of God lives inside of you. Family. Family is God ordained. The second thing that I learned as I read this story, as I learned about the background of the family, is this: family is a relationship. I think the second statement is pretty obvious, but in this era, I think more and more people treat family just like a corporation. More and more people treat family just like a company, like an organization. Meaning, instead of genuine relationship between each member, what we have is a performance-based relationship. Instead of a genuine relationship, we have a performance-based relationship. Our focus is to meet the family goal, what makes the household running, what makes less disturbance in the family, and not so much about relationship between each other. Being honest, I'm struggling with this a lot. Being an engineer, I deal with projects, I deal with machines, tools, and very rarely with people. Sometimes I treat my household just like a project. We need to do this, we need to fix that, and so on and so forth. After I am done with this project, I need to move on to another project. A lot of time, I treat my family just like a project and forget to cultivate the relationship inside. Relationship is more than just a status symbol. A lot of men think that the status symbol is the end goal, but it is not. What do I mean by that? When a guy chases a girl, he will go above and beyond, he will do everything, and then try to cultivate the relationship, call her every day, and so on and so forth. But once he got her, once he can change the status in Facebook from single to double, whatever, everything stopped and went kaput. He's now on the next project. He's now on the next goal. I already got her as my girlfriend, so what's next? He already think about what's next, what's the next projects, and he forget to cultivate the relationship. He forget to build, to cherish the the partner. He's no longer trying to get to know her. He's no longer trying to call her every day. Maybe just once a week it's good enough, just to make sure she's still living. He's already thinking about the next project. That's me, by the way. You can ask my wife. But I'm generalizing, but a lot of guys is like that. We are goal-oriented, we are project-oriented. So once a goal is achieved, we need to move on. We need to carry on to the next project. After I start to date her, after I start to date my wife, I already started to think about something else. Okay, next. What's next? Okay, next is marriage. Forget about romance. You know, romance is only, we just need finance so that we can get married, right? Forget about finance. No more fine dining. It's gone, okay? We need to save for house, whatever. But what my point is, after I get her, after I can change my status in Facebook, I no longer pay attention how to cultivate my relationship with her. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong about thinking ahead. There's nothing wrong about have project mindset. But I guess my goal is not the right one. My goal is not the correct one. My goal should be the relationship. My goal should be knowing her inside out. My goal should be about cherishing her every day. My goal should be about her, knowing her, building my relationship with her. If you change your status on Facebook, big deal. But do you know her inside out? If you finally get married, big deal. But do you still keep cherishing her every day? No one knows what women want. Don't clap. The ladies will mark you down, man. Don't clap. No one knows what a woman want. No one can decipher the heart of women. I guess that's why this should be the most exciting and challenging project that a man can embark. To understand her inside out. Anyway. Not Valentine's Day. Family is a relationship. In this era, once again, I think more and more people treat family like a corporation, just like a company, just like an organization. It is a performance-based relationship, meaning performance is the glue that holds the relationship together. I'm currently having yearly performance evaluations. For those of you who work, you probably have the same experience. There's something called performance evaluations. So in the performance evaluations, they give me several questions. So what is your goal this year? Do you think you achieve your goal this year? And what is your goal next year? The same questions will be given to my supervisor, and my supervisors will answer the same questions. What is Jeffrey's goal this year? Do you think he achieved his goal this year? What is his goal next year? And so on and so forth. And if for some reason, my performance doesn't meet his standard, the relationship will be terminated. Performance-based relationship means that there is a very high emphasis on performance and not the person. In a performance-based relationship, the relationship will be very shallow. In a performance-based relationship means that when the performance is no longer there, people left the relationship. In a performance-based relationship, since performance is the key ingredient, the focus will be on how to make other people perform so that we can reap the benefit. In an uncontrollable situation, performance-based relationship will be filled with people that are using each other for their own benefit. Staying in a relationship means that it's because I can still reap the benefit from this relationship. In a performance-based relationship, since performance is the key ingredient, the relationship will be filled with tricks, manipulations on how to make the other parties to do what we actually want them to do. How do I make my kid clean her room? How do I make my wife cook me a steak? How do I make my husband clean the garage? And so on and so forth. From the background story, we learn that Herodias used Herod to gain power, wealth, and positions. From the five Bible verses we read, we learn that Herod used his daughter to impress his dinner guests. From the story that we just read, we read that Herodias used his daughter to kill John the Baptist. Performance-based relationship is a relationship where we will use each other for our personal gain, for our personal benefit. In a performance-based relationship, people will use each other. People will just use each other. And once there is no more benefit, they will just laugh. Herodias left her first husband because there is no more benefit for her in that relationship. In performance-based relationship, it's about maneuvering from one relationship to another relationship so that we can get the highest return in our investment. Performance-based relationship. It'll be filled with tricks. It'll be filled with manipulation. In verse 19, we just read that Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him, but she was not able to. I'm very suspicious. It's probably Herodias' plan all along to have her daughter dance for Herod so she can get what she wants. In a performance-based relationship, husband will try to manipulate his wife. Wife will try to manipulate his husband to do something, manipulate their children to perform. The parents use his children. Some parents, they clothe their children, they feed their children so that they can become something that they can use in the future, so they are not become an embarrassment to them. Some parents put their children into a good school to ensure that the children can support the parents when they are retired. We just read about how parents use children, but of course the opposite is always true. Children use their parents as an ATM. Once they have no money, the relationship dried up. How many here only call your parents when you need money? Children use their parents as a free babysitter. Once they could not do it anymore, the relationship is gone. Children use their parents as, I don't know, fill in the blanks, whatever it is. But of course, we all know that good family, healthy family, is not performance-based. It is relationship-based. Regardless the performance of its member, none is rejected. Everyone is still part of the family. And I think we need to learn to see each other as an individual rather than our performance. God created man in his own image. We are all created with the same design. There is neither Jew or Gentiles, neither slave nor free, nor there is male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. God view us just because of Christ is in us, not about our performance. So let's learn how to cultivate the relationship. Let's learn how to build the relationship, not just using each other for our own benefit. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. For this is right. Not just because it makes sense, not just because everyone's doing it, but God says it is right. It is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment. Do not try to trick them. Do not try to manipulate them to get what you want. Respect them, honor them, listen to them. Father, do not exasperate, irritate, annoy your children. Instead, bring them up in training and instructions of the Lord. Lastly, Psalms 127 says this. God says that children are a gift from God. Are a gift from God. They are a reward from Him. Children are a gift, not just liability, not just extra responsibility. They are a gift from God. So I guess, parents, let's try to treasure them. Let's try to learn how to treasure them. Family. We just read a story of how a bad family, an example of bad family, I guess. But now the real question is, how can we have a healthy family? How can we have a godly family? I guess my first point will be just let the Holy Spirit guide you. Family is God-ordained. God is the one that starts a family, and I believe only God can sustain it. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit for the past few weeks, and I believe Holy Spirit is the one, the only one that can help us to maneuver in this relationship. Holy Spirit is not just hovering over us. Holy Spirit is not just a cloth that we use. A Holy Spirit is not something that, you know, namplok gitu in us, but He actually lives inside of us. 1 Corinthians 3:16, that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of us. Why? Because from the inside, He can transform us. We Christians, we are transformed from the inside out. So let the Holy Spirit guide you through your family. Not just listen to the Holy Spirit, but actually obeying it. Let the Holy Spirit guide you mean that you need to obey the Holy Spirit, not just listen to the Holy Spirit. Mark 6:20, we read that Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. I believe John gave Herod a lot of good advice. Unfortunately, Herod stops at like to listen to him. There is no use if you like to listen to the Holy Spirit. If you obey, then your life can be different. Your life can be transformed. Your family can be a difference. So not just like to listen, but actually obey. So how can we have a good and a godly family? My second point is simply just, when you deal with issue, when you deal with problem, of course, like any other relationship, there'll be issue, there'll be problem. But when you deal with them, do not attack the person, but solve the problem. Do not attack the person, but solve the problem. Separate as much as you can the problem and the person. For example, instead of saying, why are you so messy? Say, let me help you clean up. Instead of saying, how come you are so unorganized? Say, let me help you organize. Instead of saying, you cannot cook, say, let me help you to cook. Deal with the problem, not attacking the person. And I guess number three, cultivate the relationship. It takes time to build, so invest your time. Learn to listen. Listen to one another. Show gratitude to one another. A lot of times in a relationship, we take things for granted. We never show gratitude. Show gratitude, and more importantly, express it. A lot of people feel gratitude, but they do not express it. And do you know that unexpressed gratitude is the same as ingratitude? Because a person cannot see inside your heart. A person does not know when you feel gratitude or thankful. So express it. Learn to express it. Learn to write a thank you note. Learn to say thank you, even to those close to you. Family is never perfect. It's crazy at times. But let's be honest, we cannot live without them. Now, as I close, look to the person next to you. Look to the person behind you. Look to the person in front of you. So far, I've been only talking about physical family. But God says that the person next to you, in front of you, and behind you is also considered your family. Romans 8, the Spirit Himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Through Jesus Christ, we are all one family. So whatever I've been talking about for the past, I don't know how many minutes, it should be applicable to our relationship between one another as well. I'm not going to spend a lot of other times on that, but we need to learn to live together as a family. More than just an acquaintance, more than just I know you, he know me, more than just you listen to me and I speak. But we need to learn how to cultivate, how to build our relationship so that we can become and express it really like family. A family. I'm going to close with this quote. I'm going to ask the musicians to come forward and help me out. This quote is from Pope Francis, and this is what he said. The perfect family doesn't exist. Perfect family doesn't exist. Nor is there a perfect husband or perfect wife. Let's not talk about the perfect mother-in-law. It's just us sinners. A healthy family life requires frequent use of these three phrases. May I, thank you, and I'm sorry. And never, ever, ever end the day without making peace. I invite everybody to stand up. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for these few minutes that we can learn about family. Lord, we believe that you ordain family. We believe that a family is a gift from you. But Lord, we definitely need help to cultivate it, to build it. So Father God, I pray that you help each one of us in whatever family that we are belong to, that we can be a part and we can build a family and can bring positive impact to our family. Help us to build the relationship in our family. Help us to build a relationship and change other family members. And let us never forget, God, that it's about the relationship. It's not about the performance. Thank you, Jesus. We love you so much. We worship you.